Hello and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever, presented by the Sideshow Network. This is the show where we tell you about the shittiest comic book collection in existence that just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And here we are, weekend after Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully you guys had a good one. We did pretty good.
Yeah.
We
did all right.
Did pretty good with our a few favorite shops. We didn't get any of the Marvel stuff.
I didn't get the DC Rebirth one or whatever.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
So if you got that, tweet at me to tell me if it's any good.
Yeah.
But, I'm curious.
But we only got like we have. Here's the thing, that and this is what I think we're so great at what we do.
You mean buying shitty comic books?
Yes, but here's the thing, because people
so good to be good at something.
We're really good at it because we find ways to get the most bang for our buck, and we are able to get like cheap books. And like for instance, we went to Jeffries in Gardena. And they had it where since we went late enough, instead of just being like, hey, we have an outside sale, 50 cents each, and then you get free comic book day or whatever. I think it was late enough where they were just like, all right, you get 5 free comics just for showing up. Yep. And then if you want more, you could pay 50 cents for a comic. And then you get the free stuff, whatever we have left, which they didn't have everything. Actually, they didn't have anything.
They didn't have anything. It was all gone.
Didn't have anything. Yeah. But they were just like, you want these free comics? And it was the best thing. Is that we were able to finish collecting the entire Rand Thanagar Holy War, which is something that we read on the show.
Yes.
And we were like, you know what? We'll read it. And I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
As an update, there is a point, Captain Comet is a point where he's resurrected. He's in this book. And like he goes to talk to the Justice League and basically tells them that the other planets think that we're fucked.
We are fucked.
it's a very accurate description of how other countries see us, I think, in some ways.
Apply it to the planet.
And he's just like that. And, like, Jon Stewart's like, all right, thanks, buddy. Jesus. And Batman's like, that was useless. Yeah. But it's pretty good. And we're really excited about that. And we did get some free stuff. So, and we managed, we paid nothing. Nothing
That's
the entire
right.
week.
We didn't pay anything.
That's why we're great.
For those comics. So that was kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So free comic book day.
Yeah, hope you guys had a good one. So let's go to our first book here.
Yeah.
And we're hopping into something that's not DC.
No.
Or Marvel.
No.
It is a Image book.
Oh, shit.
We've done an Image book, I think, before.
Maybe.
We did Bloodstrike. And because basically every Image comic that at least comes into my purview. I know that not all Image comics are like this, but maybe in a certain time frame, it was like this.
Oh, yes, I'm certain.
That they were all basically like giant men with guns and girls with guns and pouches and, Rob Lee Field and Jim Lee and all that
really
fun stuff.
Weirdly drawn proportions and yeah. Like, actually, on the cover of our book, we'll talk about that in a minute, about proportion issues.
Right. So we are doing a book that this is kind of like, it's not one of the mainstream ones. So it's not Wildcats or, whatever, fucking Shadowhawk or Spawn or whatever. We're doing Codename Black and White.
Mm-hmm.
Number one.
Oh, yeah.
From February 1996.
Oh, yeah.
So we are in the middle of extreme Pepsi Max territory. It is.
I don't know if you guys remember Pepsi Max. I had the opportunity to rediscover this commercial because I was writing about Gotham, which decided to go full 90s when it played guitar riffs under somebody getting killed.
Yeah.
As only the 90s could. So I was looking for a 90s commercial, and I found this Pepsi Max commercial from, 1994 or something?
No, it had been later than that.
Maybe.
It had been later than that.
And it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I would encourage all of you to go look for the Pepsi Max commercial with the three dudes, or four dudes, talking about extreme sports.
Yeah, and they're
and you will remember the 90s.
Yeah.
And be glad that the 90s are over.
And they might, and you might as well have Black and White here and there as well. So let's talk about the cover. You want to, you, so you, so basically you have a guy mm-hmm. who is in a black,
yeah,
black, or black suit
thing.
I'm assuming there's Kevlar and body armor involved.
I'm sure there's pouches
and lots
belts
of like
and guns and
white harnesses and straps and stuff.
Yeah, he's got that, one of those things like Animal Man wears, where like the hair sticks out the top.
Yeah, like or like it looks like a Havoc, yeah. Alex Summers. But his has got, for some reason, it's got this little thing on his nose that comes down.
Right.
I don't know what purpose that serves.
It just
flops
extreme.
On his nose.
It's extreme. Maybe it's just like, it's like the eye black that they wear underneath their eyes for football.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that. Maybe he just draws it on his nose.
And he's got these guns.
Or it's like reverse contouring.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I wonder maybe if it actually serves a purpose where if like somebody goes to him in the bridge of the nose, it doesn't actually hurt.
Maybe.
Yeah. You know, because it's just this thin strip of whatever.
Yes. Well, just FYI for anybody who really wants to know, if you want to contour your nose and make it look smaller, you put a big strip of white down the middle and then you blend the shit out of it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. This is what I learned watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
I see. Uh-huh. Well, that's what he's doing. He's doing the opposite here.
Yes, he is.
And he's got guns with a capital G and a Z at the end.
It's too bad there's no room for an X.
Yeah. Guns. But he's got these guns where it's like, they just have these gigantic chambers.
Oh, yes.
And I'm assuming they shoot bullets.
I'm assuming they shoot
all like, the bullets.
Yeah, so
like they're pistols.
Yeah, so it's like, you know how you used to have six shooters and they had like a chamber where you had six bullets.
Yeah,
I'm assuming if you took those six bullets and you like taped them together to make one giant bullet, you could put it in that chamber,
okay.
And then it would shoot six bullets at once, which makes it more extreme than a regular gun.
Yes,
and this is how you think in the 90s.
Yes, so let's go ahead and you talk about the white lady.
White. So white is of the female persuasion, and she's wearing,
I just said she was a lady.
she's supposed to be wearing white, but I'm sorry, this is silver or gray at best.
Well, she's very much like silver sable-ish.
Yeah. And so she's wearing like, she's one of those characters that was drawn back then with those really, really tiny waists. And then like, extremely long, bizarre legs. Mm-hmm. And then she's wearing these very high-waisted pants, because we have to talk about this outfit. She's wearing these very high-waisted pants where it actually looks like her vagina is extremely long. This is the mom jeans of superhero outfits. Mm-hmm. Because it's like all the fuck way up, and then it's just this very long, very long way to her actual hips. So we have that. And then she's wearing like a...
Yeah, women in the 90s had very long...
goofy legs.
Torsos.
Yeah, the goofy torsos with these huge fucking legs and then like a very small upper body. And then she's wearing what I can only describe as like not a crop top, but like a fourth top.
Yeah.
So it's like if someone was just making the top of a dress shirt and then they were like, you know what, the rest is too hard. Like, we've already gone, we've yeah. got sleeves, we've got a collar.
they were doing it and Tim Gunn came in and went, all right. Yeah. I think it looks like you're done.
Yeah, you've covered up some clavicle. You're done. We don't need anything else below that. So it just like has these two tits like sticking out of the bottom of this top. And then that's it. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Okay.
And does she have a gun or she's got a stick?
She's got a stick, but I think it like lets out some sort of electricity.
She's got like a stick like... it's funny. It's like I only think of... there's this guy. There used to be this shitty 90s villain in... Spider-Man and Nightwatch called Cardiac, who had like a beta beam stick and he used to shoot things out of it.
Yeah.
So basically it does that.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in this.
Yeah.
on the cover of this.
So this is what we're dealing with this week, guys.
Yeah, it's something.
All right. So, and this is the first issue of an ongoing series. Apparently there was a mini series and this proved to be so popular
that they had to.
They had to make it. Image was like, we got to get this out now because somebody said
fans want it.
One person said, awesome.
Hey, in Image terms, that was probably pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like it's some of those things where it's like you don't have much victory going on other than maybe like some really big victories. But then you have like but everything else below that is kind of like, if you get like a small victory, you're like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Even though it's not.
Save the big victories. You've just described my entire creative career.
I feel like...
it's nothing but small victories.
I feel
I hit 200 followers on Twitter. Yeah, I don't even think I have yet. Yay. Yeah.
That's how I feel like. I kind of want to be honest about this. I kind of feel like this is how podcasts work too.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is general. Every creative endeavor I've ever
this
done,
is like every like podcaster, you know, including myself.
Yeah.
Who's like, you're like, oh man, there's all this big stuff, and then like you're like, hey man, we got like somebody retweeted us and said it was pretty good. Yeah. All right, I think we're gonna be all right. And then you kind of coast off of that for like 6 months
because that's all you got.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, and that's basically what Black and White is. This book is the
it is the podcast of comic books.
It is the podcast of comic books, guys.
It is the Jen Stansfield career of comic books.
I feel like, and it's funny because I could put this up and I feel like everybody would be like, no man, you're better than that. It's like, no, we're not.
No, really.
This is it.
We're not.
This is it.
And it's okay, but you know what?
There's you, and that's me.
At least I wear full shirts.
Yeah, you wear a lot of shirts. I don't
give up. I'm just not like, you know what?
And at least I got, like... At least, you know, yeah, I don't know, actually. I kind of want to be that guy.
I know. That guy's outfit is pretty sweet.
He's got sweet abs.
He does have sweet abs. And he also wears full shirts. So.
Yeah.
She also has kind of like a shoulder pad, kind of like a linebacker, like football.
Yeah.
Sports.
It's kind of like that thing last week when we were talking about Superman, Superboy and the shoulder pads. And like, she's like, you know, hey, can I borrow those?
Yeah.
Anyways, so let's talk about this damn book. Okay, so number one, Beginnings.
We got a dude. In a jungle.
I think it's Indiana Jones.
Yeah, he's looking for... He looks like Indiana Jones.
So Indiana Jones is running through the jungle, mm-hmm. and he's like looking for this... He's waiting apparently for somebody named Juju.
Yeah, he's supposed to meet his contact.
And he's running, and he's shooting a gun, and there's a bird,
and there's rain.
There's a red bird, which apparently remember that for later.
Sure.
And there's a bunch of like... narration about him, you know, like he messed with the wrong people.
Yeah, I don't care, you
know, kind of stuff.
Like, actually, none of this matters.
Well, none of it matters in this issue.
At this point,
you know, I mean, well,
so then
he's looking for this woman named Juju,
and Juju shows up.
Juju shows up, and she's like some sort of
priestess.
Like I assume this is like Jamaica or something. She talks like Jamaica.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I think they're somewhere else.
I feel like her dress...
They're in Mexico.
Her dress would not be out of place on RuPaul.
No, and she's got...
She's got like, you know, it's like low and it's got a huge collar. I mean, it's actually fabulous.
Yeah.
It's a great dress.
And she has gigantic thighs.
I've noticed all the women in this book have gigantic
thighs.
But her
thighs are like really like... this is like... a lot of thighs.
Yeah, like I think her thighs actually wider than her shoulders.
Yeah, it 100%.
Yeah,
is.
And you know what? White actually has some of the same issues going on with the proportions.
Maybe there's something.
Her waist is like the size of the microphone, and then her thigh is like
this is
huge.
A week. I'll be honest. This is a week for not this week, but we're coming up on a lot of deformities.
We really are
in books.
We really are. So yeah, she's got, you know, she's got some. Maybe she really does squats.
Mm-hmm.
She loves squats, so maybe that's what's going on. So she's there and she's like, hey, and he's like, why'd you want to meet me here? And she's like, well, I wanted to meet you here, but because I know you're a lying sack of crap. Because
apparently he was supposed to bring something and he sold it.
Yeah, it's called like the Porto or something.
He sold his Porto's gift card.
Pomo. It's a Pomo.
Pomo.
Yeah, his Porto. I love Portos.
Mm. But yeah, he sold his Pomo, which apparently is something that... this woman she wanted
and he was like, no, they made me do it. And she's like, yeah, you're full of shit, dude. And so he's like, well, I'm not afraid of you.
And he shoots her.
Yeah, you know, everybody says you're a fucking witch, but I'm not afraid of you. And he shoots her in the head, and she lives.
She's like, nah, man.
She's like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, so I'm going to freeze you to death.
No, she does just basically
she freezes him, and he's like, no, you don't understand, I didn't want to do it, I had to do it. And what is he tells her something.
He says, they made me do it, and you have to talk to Campbell.
Oh, that's right. She gives him the information.
Yeah, he rats out somebody.
So she's like, all right, well, I'm not going to kill you. but I'm going to let my friends kill you.
Yeah, basically, okay, basically he's like, look, you got to go to England and, like, do something.
Yeah.
Get whatever this pomo is or whatever this stupid thing. He's like the guy who it's like, you know, hey, I gave you $20 to go, you know, buy some snacks, and then you went out and bought lunch with it.
Yeah.
You know, this guy sucks. Yeah. So he's dead because snakes. Yeah.
So he's like, what do you mean friends? And all these snakes come and they eat him and he dies.
Snakes.
So good for him.
So now we're in England, mm-hmm. and we get introduced to...
Wait, are we in England or are we in Malta? Because he's going... White is in England.
Oh, that's right.
Are we in Maltese?
Maltese. Okay, so they're in Maltese because apparently this is where we get introduced to...
White. And some guy with an eye
patch. Or no, well, she's known as White, but she goes... Like, she has a name.
Her name's like Barbara or something.
No, it's...
Jimmy.
Black it. What's her name?
I don't remember. He says it later. I forget what it is. It doesn't actually matter. I just call her White.
Okay, she's White, yeah.
So she's under house arrest because of whatever happened in the little miniseries.
Yeah, they're like, hey, remember the miniseries? I'm like, no.
No, I have no... And they don't actually tell you anything that happened. It's just like, she's under house arrest for this event.
You should have read this miniseries that you could probably find because you just came across this random comic.
Well, I'm sure we'll find it. And she's going stir crazy, but she's being babysat by basically what amounts to Alfred in an eye patch.
Yes.
Because, as we find out later, White has left her here because he has to go back to the UK, and he apparently is a very rich man.
Who? No, we're talking about Black.
Black, I'm sorry. Black is a very rich man.
Blackett.
And he has to go back because his dad was an MI6 agent.
Basically, from what I understand here, his dad was an MI6 agent, so was he. Mm-hmm. And during the 1 year during the Queen's birthday, the Queen, they're on some sort of detail,
right,
to protect her, and something happened where somebody named Mitchell,
yeah,
or somebody switched out.
Their assignments at, like, the last minute.
Yeah, they switched their assignments at the last minute, and this is Black's father was in the line of fire for an assassination attempt, and then he's like, it should have been me!
Yeah, and so that's basically what Black is doing. He's like, it should have been me! But for some reason, some other guy's mad at Black.
Yeah, they're upset with him for...
Because apparently this was his fault. I think because he got the order over the walkie-talkie, and he was the one who told everybody to switch.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they're mad at him.
And now for some reason they're saying that his father, his deceased father, is now a traitor.
Right.
And so now he's going back to England in order to clear his name,
sure.
I think.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is
I'm sure if we read the miniseries it would make more sense, but then we'd have to find the miniseries and I don't care.
Yeah, but it's also a lot of, like, you know, anguished British man.
Of course. And it's also like the whole, like, my dad is dead, and that's why I do this. Dead parents.
Yeah, because
every fucking comic book character has to have a goddamn dead parent.
And he's wearing constantly the tightest shirts.
The tightest shirts, and he also wears, I can't tell if those are supposed to be sunglasses or regular glasses, but I'm assuming they're really weird sunglasses.
Yeah, they're like weird. Like they're definitely not regular glasses, but they're not. They're like aviator glasses, but they're like sky blue.
Yeah, yeah.
So
he's on the plane, and like he's just,
which would imply that they're real glasses.
This pissed me off. Here, let me see this. So this really pissed me off because this was such a dumb moment of all the dumb moments in this book. So he is sitting there, rocking the blue steel. Basically, he's just like very glowery, but like also very male model at the same time.
Yeah.
And the flight attendant comes over. And she says, sir, please replace your ... Sir, are you all right? Do you need? And he goes, what? No, I'm fine. Thank you. And then that's it. He's not crying. He's not doing anything. And we find out that the reason she talked to him, even though she's a flight attendant, is because she's an agent. Like a secret agent for like MI6. But at the same time,
he's sitting right there.
Why did you have to talk to him?
And he starts thinking, he's like, oh, that
flight attendant was acting weird.
Acting weird because she's actually talking to me, asking me if I need stuff because I was just sitting.
I'm like, you're the worst fucking agent. First off, he's not doing anything.
Yeah.
So there's no reason for her to talk to him. And like they could have just drawn her in the background and he could have noticed her as a tail. Instead, she has to talk to him.
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid. It just makes me mad.
Yeah. So anyway, so
so he's like, oh, I don't even feel British anymore. I've been, you know, living in America for so long or whatever.
Yeah.
So he gets off the plane. He gets off the plane. Those people's tailing him.
He goes into the apartment. He goes into his apartment or his hotel, and he's like, okay, I can. I know that there's creeps here.
Right. There's MI6 people.
MI6 people are basically like the most ripped ninjas ever.
Yeah.
Because like, look, I mean, look at these people. It's like these basically. It's like they're not. It's not even. It's like Scott Steiner, like wearing like the Green Man outfit, or what's the name of it?
It's a Zentai.
Zentai. Okay. You told me that, and I was like, that's something I learned.
I've done my duty for my life. I've taught somebody something, and I'm out.
It's like a Zentai suit, you know, with Scott Steiner and Scott Steiner's in Zentai suits, you know, and, you know, and they start fighting, and he throws his briefcase.
Into, like, some dude's face, which is actually kind of great.
Yeah, it's not bad. This actually kind of reminds me of... We were watching the Justice League versus Teen Titans cartoon.
God, yeah. Yeah, which, yeah. Which, that's weird.
That's a weird book, weird show.
That's a really weird fucking movie. I would recommend watching it, but make sure you just seethe in your hatred for Damian Wayne the entire time. Because that's what I did. I fucking hate that little asshole.
Yeah, and he's an asshole in this
one,
too.
God, he's awful. I'm just like, I wish the Alfred of Gotham, who is very slap happy and likes to slap children, would appear in this fucking thing and slap this motherfucker across the face.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're like fighting a huge demon.
Mm hmm.
And like.
Okay, in the movie, yeah.
Yeah. During the movie, and Wonder Woman smashes the demon's face with a huge.
Yeah, it's Trigon.
Boulder.
So he takes like the. And they're like, he's gigantic, and he's kind of like Godzilla-ing over into a city.
Yeah.
And she'll like to stop him, like Wonder Woman just like flies into it with a giant rock. It's like,
like right into his face.
And it doesn't do anything, but it's.
Which
just,
is hilarious.
But it's just kind of funny where it's like, she's like, funch. You know?
Yeah, so if you want to see a bunch of superheroes playing Dance Dance Revolution at a carnival where they serve sushi, I'd recommend watching this movie. You can get it on Amazon. You can rent it.
It's like to a local carnival, download. A carnival and wherever the fuck the giant tea tower is. And it's weird because, like, so, and yeah, real quick, like, it's weird because Starfire is, like, way older than them, I think, or supposed to be way older.
She's like... Like, if you watch Young Justice, like, how Red Tornado, like, takes care of them because they're children, that's, like, Starfire's role.
And it's funny because, like, she shows up, like, Dick, you know, Nightwing brings Damian over, and they're just kind of, like, looking at each other, like, hey, all right, you know?
Yeah.
And then at one point, which they have a Skype session.
Yeah.
It's, like, just she's bending over into the camera.
And all you see on the computer screen are her tits.
And, like, her legs, and he's just, like...
And he's wearing, like, a puka shell necklace.
Yeah, Dick's on the other hand, just with like a big thing of lotion, just like fat, fat, fat.
Pretty much, because he's like trying to pretend to look away, but you know he's watching and like fapping at the same time.
Oh yeah, and then there's like demon human sex.
Yeah. There's demon human. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like demon human sex, and there's Dance Dance Revolution, and I don't know, Fountains of Wayne, but not Fountains of Wayne. It's like whatever cool hip band.
Yeah, Stacy's mom is in that music.
Yeah,
is in there?
Is hip and cool now for children? Like, there's a fucking music montage of people having fun. So, I mean, like, this thing's fucking bonkers. I would highly recommend it if you like fucking
it's
bonkers.
Pretty bonkers, yeah. You know what? I'm not going to give it. There's nothing to give away. I'm not giving anything away, but it's fucking great.
It's fucking bonkers, so I'd recommend it. But again, fuck Damian Wayne.
Okay. Anyway, so muscular ninjas fight Black here, and then, you know, he kicks, like, I think he throws them out the window, and they land on, like, the awning. Is this the awning?
Either that, sure. It looks like a butthole. It really does.
Wait, this?
Yeah.
A butthole?
It's a weird looking anus.
Okay. So, and then there's this cat, Mitchell. So this guy Mitchell, who I think was one of the guys that was there that day.
Yeah, he's the one who like really hates
him. He looks like Jimmy Olsen for some reason.
He looks like Jimmy Olsen.
And he's like, hey, you got to come to like this meeting. You know, because you're here and like your dad's a traitor and you want to like,
We realize you said that you retired, but your retirement is bogus because the conditions mean like whenever we say you need to come do a mission, you have to.
Yeah.
So.
And he's like, well, whatever.
He's like, fuck that shit.
Fuck that shit. And you know what? It's kind of great because later on he doesn't go.
Yeah. Good for him.
Good for him. And then we get a good bit here where,
we go back to, the place where White is staying, and you know she's bored. So Alfred with an eye patch, like, lets her fight a robot.
Yeah.
And the robot laughs at her, so she explodes it. And yes. The guy's like, hey, you need to be more careful with my robot thing.
He's like, I built this technology to fight, help train people, and you destroyed it.
Yeah, she's like, well, what are you going to do?
She uses her stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, Black shows up on the computer, and basically like, he's, like, basically just kind of recounting exactly everything that's been happening.
Right.
You know?
And she's like, do you need my help? He's like, no. Because, you know, obviously these two were probably thrown together and they hate each other. But you know they're going to be fucking in, like, two issues.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. You know that's going to happen.
You could play some Dance Dance Revolution and get all hot.
You're going to have a Skype session. You know he's going to fap right after this, right?
He's fapping right now. You can't see him. He's got blood all over his face, but he's like, whatever, fap, fap, fap.
Exactly. Look at that chick. She's got really, really weird legs.
Yeah, she has, there's this drawing here of her, and she's got, like...
That's what I mean when she's got, like... Not as big thighs as the other woman, but giant she's got thighs. Definite big thighs, which is, you know, hey, nothing wrong with thick thighs. But they're in very odd proportion to the rest of her body.
Yeah. So anyway, so he goes to the, so Black goes to the cemetery.
He goes to go cry over his dad's grave.
Cry over his dad's
because
grave.
Because this wouldn't be a comic book about a rich guy who's a vigilante if he wasn't crying over one parent or both parents' grave.
Yeah. No, you need to have that. And he's like, my dad. And then as he's there.
That red bird.
There's that red bird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. The page.
Oh, the page came out.
Oh, not only is this a piece of shit book, but like the actual quality of printing was a piece of shit. The page is just falling out. And this is not like a book that's been like run over by a car.
No.
Like some of the books we get look like they've, you know, been underneath somebody's fucking, you know, water cooler for 15 years, but this one looks pretty new.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, but no. Anyways, pages fell out, and there's zombies.
Right. Oh, that's right, because the zombies show up, because obviously the red bird is Juju.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. Because that the red bird showed up before she showed up, so since she's already going to London.
Right, and she can do voodoo stuff.
Yeah, so that's where the zombies come from. So
what do they have? Oh, Mitchell has... Is it Mitchell? Was it Mitchell they talked about earlier? Or somebody they mentioned...
Oh, I don't remember the name of the person.
Yeah, I'm going to go back.
Somebody has something.
It's important. Campbell.
Okay.
Campbell is some other geek.
Some other guy. So he's like, what the fuck, zombies? And so they start fighting the zombies.
Yeah, Black starts fighting the zombies. And as that's happening...
White shows up.
And she's like...
I'm not sure she got there.
She calls them yo muscles.
Yeah, she calls them muscles.
Yo muscles, just a private party, or is anybody invited? Or is anyone invited?
And he's like, where's the rest of your shirt?
Yeah, first of all, yeah, where's the rest of your shirt?
First off, why are you only wearing the top of a fucking button down?
Well, here's the thing, too. He's like, just a couple minutes earlier, he's like, it's really fucking cold here. Because he mentions that. He's like, it's really cold here.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm still English enough to want a hot cup of tea. And she shows, I guess this sort of outfit is like, if your torso is constantly warm, but your arms are always cold.
And it also, it serves no purpose for like preventing you. I mean, that's what I don't get about a lot of outfits, you know, that in comic books is that they serve no purpose for protection.
Well, of course not. It's just for you to like look at and be like, humma, 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 look at those titties.
Yeah. So she's rocking that. And
titties.
And
guys.
Then Alfred with an eye patch throws Black his... Whatever, his stupid face gear.
Yeah. he's like, reverse contour your nose, buddy. And so he does, and then they fight.
They fight, and then we get the last page, and it's like, we're just beginning to fight the zombies, and, you know, there's a bunch of zombies coming out. I wonder if one of them is his dad.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought it was his dad at first, but apparently it was just a random zombie.
Maybe that happens in the next one.
Yeah.
You know, his dad shows up, and then, and that's how the book ends, because then for the next, like, six pages.
It's just fucking ads and bullshit.
It's ads for like Image books. You know, we get a splash page of the cover of the next one. We get like, you know, all this other random stuff. We get like a little write up from the people that put, you know, for like the letters page and stuff like that. They already have a letters page already. It's like, and red all over.
Yeah.
You know, which I'm like, all right, black and white, red. You know, people apparently were like, you guys wrote in and said, where's Black and White? It's like, well, here it is. I'm like, nobody wrote in. I don't believe you. Marvel or Image or whatever. And then we get ads.
Yeah.
We get a bunch of ads. We do get the Max, the Max.
Oh, I remember the Max.
I've often wondered about the Max. I'm actually sometimes, part of me actually wants to come across a few more of these kind of books.
Yeah.
And just see, like, the Max, but also maybe, like, you know, see what else is going on in these.
Yeah. I would actually really love to find the Max, because I watched it.
Yeah.
When it was a cartoon on MTV. And I feel like, at least the way I ended up seeing it, was so out of order.
Yeah.
That I had no fucking clue what was going on.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't watch it every single time it was on. So, and I don't know if they aired them out of order or I just happened to catch it out of order.
It was one of those things where it's like it was just, it was on randomly.
Yeah.
Like you kind of had to find the right time to catch it.
So I was never
sure. Like
on
Friday nights after the state or something. Right. And they move it to Thursday.
Yeah. So I would, every time I catch it, I'd be like, what's going on? I'd be like, wait, I thought that was happening last time, but now this. So I would actually really like to find that so I can figure out what the hell happened, because I always liked watching it. I enjoyed it, but yeah. I was so confused by the end because of all the weird, like, random times I'd catch the episode.
Yeah, so yeah, so that's the Max.
Yeah.
Watch we're talking the Max. About, yeah, read the Max instead.
Is that on DVD?
It might be. But that's it for Black and White. And actually, I forgot to miss on the back.
Yes.
They have a thing you can send in.
Oh, shit. Oh.
for motherfucking pogs.
Yeah.
Because this is the mid-90s. And
well, they call them milk caps, but milk, they're fucking pogs.
Well, they even call them pogs in that letter page, because they're like, hey, by the way, pogs on the back? All right.
Alf's back, and he's in pog form.
No, Black and White's in pog form, guys. Don't fuck around here, man. You got a black, a white, you got another chick with a rack. No, that's that same one. You got a zombie.
With a rack?
Maybe. I don't know.
My zombies better have tits. Zombie tits or get the fuck out, is what I always say.
You know what's funny, though, too, is that, okay, so they have, like, this thing that you're supposed to mail in, right? And for some reason, they have a box that's already checked off for you that says, yes, please send me this many sets of pogs.
All the pogs, please.
And you don't even get, but the thing is, why put that box there? You're already, if you're sending this in, you already want the pogs. Why do you, what, why check this box? Why even have this box here?
So you feel good about,
what if you, wanted to put no?
Well, then why would you send it?
I don't know. Just want to send them. Be like, what the fuck? Don't, I just ruined this comic book. You know,
the well printed comic book.
This well printed comic book from 1996. And I don't want your pogs. Your milk caps or whatever the fuck. This is actually insane. This is back during the Pog revival, because I remember around this time that maybe it was a couple of year before this, that WWE Raw had WWF Pogs.
Oh, shit.
And the wrestlers were playing them during the matches. Like, they were like, hey, backstage, this is back when Vince McMahon was like the babyface announcer.
Mm.
So you'd be like, ha, 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 they're playing Pogs. Ha, 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 you know, and then, like, you know, the cowboy wrestlers like Pogs, you know.
Mm.
So, yeah, so this fit right in. So this is of its time, to say the least. Would you read the next issue of this?
I would, actually.
I think I would, too.
I would absolutely read the next issue of this. I don't know why. It's because I know it's stupid. I think that's, you know, here's the thing. I've said this before. I have a deep love of things that are shitty. Like, that are unabashedly terrible.
Yeah.
And I have a love of things like that. So much so that I will seek them out. So this is bad.
Yeah.
It's like a ripoff of Batman and a ripoff of, you know, every other male-female superhero team.
Batman
ever.
And Catwoman had hair.
Maybe. But, like, you know, it's just like he's, like, obviously, like, a British version of, like, James Bond and Batman at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the hot chick who wears half-fourth shirts. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be together, and obviously they're going to end up fucking and fighting and blowing things up. And you know this is a piece of shit, and I would absolutely read the next issue.
In 1996, I would just go picking up this. If I already read this, I would be like, finding the next issue and be like, do they fuck in this one, Mr. Clark?
You know they're going to.
I don't think this probably went past another few issues.
Oh, I can't. I assume this got canceled right away.
Yeah.
But so. I would totally read the next issue if it existed.
Yeah. Which supposedly people want. I hate.
Which, like, does DC own these characters now?
No, because DC doesn't own. DC only owned Jim Lee's imprint, the Wildstorm.
Okay.
which, but this is just regular, like, so that's image.
Regular image. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always hard to tell.
Yeah. They only owned, like, Wildstorm. So this would still be over an image, and I don't even know, like, they're doing, like, other stuff that people care about.
Right. You could resurrect these characters and make people care about them.
Yeah. I mean, you probably have to contact Art Thibbert and Pamela Thibbert.
Well, unless Image owns them, which is possible.
Ooh, licensing inquiries. Ooh, I can contact somebody here. The Imagination Factory. Stan Blum. All right. Chatsworth. Oh, that's right up the street. That's around here. I'm going to check that out.
We can go ask. We can say, can we please resurrect these characters?
Be like, hold this up to the window. Be like, please, can I have this?
I'll still print it under Image. They're not mine.
I wrote all this fanfic. All right. Well, that's it for the black and white. We'll be back with the next book.
Gilbert Gottfried, because let's be honest, who in their right mind would claim to be me if they weren't? I want to tell you about my hilarious podcast, Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, right here on the Sideshow Network. Each week, me and my co-host, Frank Santopadre, talk to movie stars, comedians, singers, directors, and other entertainers about classic Hollywood. Sometimes they even answer us. If you didn't catch the name, that's Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast. Every Monday and Thursday, named by the Village Voice as the best podcast of 2015. Download, rate us, and subscribe on iTunes or check us out on SideshowNetwork.tv/Gilbert Gottfried.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. Let's get into the Marvel selection. So this week we have a returning book. We have Alpha Flight, the first series of Alpha Flight. Because I know there've been other series, I haven't gotten those to those yet, but I'm just into this one. So we're talking about Alpha Flight number 31 from February 1986, and Alpha Flight this time around features Vindicator. Or Heather McDonald, or I don't think she's quite yet Vindicator at this point, even though on the letters page she's dressed up in her Vindicator outfit, but she's not wearing it in this book. We got Northstar, Aurora, also Puck, and Box. They're all here.
Box.
Box the robot.
Whatever. Stupid name for a robot.
Well, no, because you know why his name is Box?
Because he comes in a box?
No,
him. He's like a fucking piece of IKEA furniture.
He's a Flugenharg.
Zugenflieg or whatever.
They were gonna call him that, but then they're like, let's call Box. They're like, all right.
Yeah.
No,
they're going to name him after our chairs.
No, because the guy that's inside of Box, there's a legless man who has the ability to transmute his body into this robot. And he is, he's able to do that. His name is Roger Box, B-O-C-H-S.
I get it.
So they call him
Box. I like my IKEA furniture theory better.
Yes. So on the cover, we got Alpha Flight along with, her name is Nemesis, but she looks like Deadpool-ish.
Kind of, yeah, she does. You know,
with like a freaking cape, a flying cape and stuff like that. Oh. And there's skulls all around. They're fighting, and it says, "Avoid the touch of deadly Ernest." And Ernest is
that's just a villain's name that sends fear through everybody.
Deadly Ernest P. Worrell, R.I.P. Jim Varney. Deadly Ernest Goes to Camp actually would be a great, great book, great movie. If it was this character going and being like, because it would be like 3 seconds long. He'd just be like, Ernest, you lousy custodian. And he'd be like, touch, dead. You know, you just touch all the kids. Not that way, but, you know, you'd just be like, touch their head. Poink, 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 poink. Dead.
Yeah.
But anyways, Deadly Ernest is basically this gigantically muscular French guy mm-hmm. who...
Well, it explains it in the book.
Yeah, he basically does horrible stuff. Anyway, so the story, the title of the book is called The Grateful Dead, which kind of fills it, kind of ties into, you know, the theme of the story, I think, in some ways. But it's just a silly title.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. And so basically,
and it's kind of written in the Grateful Dead font.
Yeah, slightly, yeah, no, it yeah. totally is. So we start off with Deadly Ernest. They're in Montreal, and Deadly Ernest is in an alley naked. He apparently just killed a guy.
Because he needs his clothes.
Because he needs his clothes. I just realized this is drawn by Mike Mignola, who went on to draw Hellboy, create Hellboy.
Oh, indeed.
And what?
Oh, I was just going to read something. So it says, you know, he feels the need for clothes. You are looking at a creature callous enough to kill for clothes. So I'm like, oh, it's the Terminator.
Yeah.
Because that's basically, he actually does the same thing and kind of steals the same outfit the Terminator
steals. They haven't got, apparently Alpha Flight, this is a precursor to the phase of the 90s when stupid people were killing each other for starter jackets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they did not get to the point to address that, but.
No.
So apparently, yeah, he kills this guy and
he's got leather pants.
He's like in a porno section of Montreal, which is popping.
Yeah. Well, it's basically like Times Square in the 70s.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, porn theaters and slap joints, as Harvey Bullock would call it. So he like kills this guy and he's like, he took him for the size, but they're not his style, but he's got like a sweater and he's got like Tommy Wiseau number of belts.
Yeah. He's got a lot of belts.
There's a lot of belts.
A lot of rocking belts.
I love that he also took enough time to retie this guy's bandana below his knee.
Oh, maybe they're attached to the pants still.
Bandana just sewn in there.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's, I mean, he's in, they are in a pretty seedy section of Montreal. So
they really are.
Anything goes there.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's just say there's like, you got that bandana on your leg, below
sure
your
that
knee.
Bandana actually means like some sort of gang affiliation.
Or means what you're into, like sexually.
Well, yeah. But like, he was just like, I guess I'm going for it. I guess whatever. I'm telling people a lot of things about me.
He's up for anything.
Maybe that's what bandana below the knee means.
Yeah, yeah, he's like...
Maybe bandana below the knee means I do anal.
Well, he does a lot of things. Deadly Ernest, he's like, he's a rough customer.
Yeah. So he's all excited. He's like, well, I've got some clothes, and now I'm happy about it.
Yeah, and he's just kind of walking through this porno land, and there's a movie that's called Positions of Love.
Yeah.
Which...
starring what, Gigi and...
Gigi and Lola.
Yeah.
It's a hot ticket, guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like walking and laughing, doing that.
Because that's what one does.
He's just like some big giant.
He's like, I'm so happy I'm alive.
Because he's just kind of walking around looking
porno
like
porno clothes.
You know. And then we cut to.
Statue in front of like some building.
Yeah, some building, some French.
And Nemesis
explorer.
Is sitting on top of it.
Nemesis is on top of it, and she's, you know. So she has this sword. Which apparently is so thin and awesome
mm-hmm.
that it can cut between molecules.
Okay.
That's what she explains it as. And I don't understand. Because this looks like a sword. Yeah, it looks like a...
If it was that thin, you wouldn't be able to see it.
Exactly.
That's fucking stupid.
It's
But whatever.
But she's like, my sword wants to kill people or kill, I got to find Ernest P. Worrell, Ernest St. Ives. I'm sorry, that's his name. But she finds out that he's alive.
Because
apparently in the last issue, or issues before this, he was killed, which we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So anyways, and then we go to...
we're outside of a hospital.
We're outside of a hospital, and in the issue before this, okay, because I think I have an issue before this, and basically there's a character, so they're talking, so the Alpha Flight is talking to this guy, Madison Jeffries, a.k.a. Scramble.
Oh, that's right. Scrambling Man or something.
Scramble the Mixed Up Man.
That's it.
And
that's a name up there with like Crazy Quilt.
And he's a guy. He's, I don't know if he's a mutant or if he's just got powers.
Yeah.
That allow him to rearrange organic matter.
Yeah.
Like he could basically
fucked up.
It's weird. It's kind of like a Bawana Beast.
Yeah.
What he does with animals.
Yeah.
But like he does it permanently and with humans. Yeah. Or you can do with animals. But he does it with humans where he's like, hey.
And it's not like him. It's like he's.
Well, he could do that. He could still do this.
Well, no, I mean, like, he doesn't get mixed up. He does it to other people.
Right. No, right. Yeah. He puts like, so basically if you like, if you lose like a toenail and he could put it on to like somebody that needs another toenail.
Well, yeah. Or he could just like.
It's a very minor example.
But basically what happened is he was evil and he was making horrible crimes against nature.
Well, yeah, he was making monstrosities. I think, and I had the, which in the book, it's like you kind of get the impression it's like a lot of like crazy looking meat men. Cause he went into a morgue and was like, Play-Doh.
It's gross.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And it's funny because they're talking to him.
Cause he's like, I'm good now. Cause I guess he was like, he's also a surgeon.
Yeah. He's like, I'm a surgeon. And then they're like, but I'm good. And I think I could probably go back. And they're like, hey, you're gonna go back to like doing medicine.
Yeah.
Which I'm like,
Don't let this guy anywhere near body parts.
Because like he's like, well, I went crazy, but now I'm better. But now I can go. And I was like, maybe I need to get somebody recommended. It's like Alpha Flight, take care of it. I'm like, yeah, sure they will.
Right.
For most of the book, then most of the time when I read Alpha Flight, it seems like the Canadian government hates Alpha Flight.
Hmm.
There's always a problem with them. It's always like a lot of like, basically 90% of Alpha Flight stories are like, you know, half like weird mutant shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Weird battle stuff going on, and then the other half is like government, like Alpha Flight needs to get in control, you know.
Right.
And it's like whatever, it's just like you know, I mean, I like it, I mean, it's a good book, but that's what it feels like half the time.
Yeah,
so
you're always watching Civil War.
Yeah, you're basically watching like C-SPAN and like,
well, Captain America Civil War,
Captain America C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Basically. But Canadian. Mm, so whatever. Yeah, the Canadian. Yeah. Version is
very polite. C-SPAN,
very polite. C-SPAN. Mm. But so anyway, so we're sitting there and they're like, blah, blah, blah. What's his face?
Puck has like a weird
headache.
He's
or
like,
something.
Oh, I have pains. And the guy's like, I'm a healer. Let me help you. And then,
yeah. Scrambles. Like, let me touch you.
And nope.
He's like, nah, man,
please don't touch me. So then some ambulance shows up.
An ambulance shows up with the body that they found that Ernest took the clothes from.
Yeah. And they're like, we don't get it. There's no signs of life, but he's still warm.
Yeah. And then he's like, you know, Scramble Man is like,
yay, more bodies.
He's like, hey, can I try this one?
I touch it? Yay, I want to put it together with something else I found.
Yeah. Look, I found this, this guy's eyebrow. I'm going to put it on there. Look at this weird. Ooh, look at that. It's weird.
He's like a kid playing with Kinex.
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm going to put everything together and make my own thing. Look at this. I made a man with seven legs.
You know what's funny is I'm talking about this character and I'm kind of holding back on all the weird shit because I don't necessarily feel that a lot of it's appropriate.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm like, well, I'll take my dick and put it here.
Well, you could. You could make a dude. You could make, instead of like the ten-eyed man in DC, it could be the ten-dicked man. Like, could you just imagine, like, instead of, like, a belt, it was just, like, dicks standing out? Just, like, around your waist, you just had all these dicks? It would be like going through a car wash if you spun around.
How would Batman fight him?
I don't know. Well, the Alpha Flight would have to fight him. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure how
you would wear pants if you had that many dicks.
What if Alfred was, like,
dicks all around?
What if Alfred's, like, the only way to defeat him is to suck all the dicks?
Like,
and the whole thing, he's like, I gotta call him the Justice League. We gotta suck all these dicks.
I can't do this all on my own. I might be
you
able
have to
get
suck
two.
All the dicks at once. I mean, I
might be able to get two in my mouth, like if I really try, because I'm really good at eating hot dogs. But like, I can't reach all the way around to the back.
It's just
and
like
get all those dicks back there.
It would be funny. It was like you cut to like the satellite and like. Be a Wonder Woman's like in a hot dog eating contest. They're like, finally, this skill comes to use.
But I mean, like, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah,
I just like the idea of a
how
guy.
How come Marvel versus DC didn't have that happen?
Why doesn't have? Why is there
Amalgam
no
universe?
Why is there no
dick
belted man? Like, you could have more than 10 dicks if you had.
I'm surprised there wasn't this dick belted man in the 90s.
Someone draw that. Or don't actually.
No,
don't
actually, no, don't draw that.
No one draw that.
Don't
just
draw
imagine
that.
It. It's in your head now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a guy who, when he spins, it's like a. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that spins real wide.
a top.
Well, no, like lays down, and then when you spin, they stick out.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. You know what I'm talking about.
So the Ten Dick Man, he shows up. No. So they figure out, though, that there's a body missing from the morgue as well.
Yes.
And I guess it's Ernest's one. Because yes. Ernest...
And they're like, well, that's kind of weird because he was in pieces.
Yeah.
Like, literally in pieces.
Yeah, and like, you know, what's her face? Aurora, who for some reason is wearing a random scarf.
Yeah.
You know, because it's cold.
She Canada. Also, later... I don't believe you can see it here, but later she has some Flock of Seagulls hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, she's got some weird hair.
Yeah, she's a big fan of Flock.
It's the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the 80s. So, and they're like, you know, the North Star and Aurora are like, oh, Deadly Ernest? I'm like, oh, no. So they got to go find him. And anyways, then we cut to some bullshit with Shaman.
Yeah, because I guess he's like, he's having an existential crisis because I guess he like lost his powers or something. So like Snowbird's following him around and she turns into like a
lynx. Well, she doesn't follow. This isn't him.
No, I know. But she's looking for him.
She's looking for him, but she runs into this other guy.
And she's like, who's her boyfriend or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're a lynx now. And she's like, let's go back to wherever the fuck we're supposed to go to.
Because she has one of the weirdest powers where she can basically turn into like any snow animal.
Yeah, only Arctic animals. Which is really kind of a pointless. I mean, if you're in Canada, it might be a really good power. But you go anywhere else and you're like, ugh.
She can turn into a lynx, a polar bear.
Snowbird.
Snowbird. And that's it.
Yeah.
And like maybe
Arctic
like
a fox.
Fox. Maybe? And maybe like.
A seal.
See? Oh, she could turn into a seal.
She'd be a little cute fur seal.
Has she ever turned into a seal?
No, but she should.
Oh, man.
Because, I mean, at least she could go in the water.
You know, John Byrne, I should ask him about that. He created her, so let's see about that. Anyways, so she's hunting him down, and then Shaman shows up.
And he's like, oh, I'm wandering through the wilderness. Wait, there's this cabin that shouldn't be here, because it's like the cabin I stayed in.
Yeah, and we kind of get like a background about Shaman,
and he walks into the cabin. There's a flaming skull who's also his father. Like it's just bullshit.
Yeah, and then he gets naked. He's naked. It's like looks like the
he skull. Does not have a belt of dicks.
No,
he I assume only has one.
No, but he's got some great back muscles.
He really does. He's in very good shape.
And then a skull burps in his face. It looks like here. Yeah,
everybody's least favorite friend thinks burping is fun.
So yeah, but that's yeah.
So yeah, that's what's going on with him.
So then we get Deadly Ernest's
origin,
and basically, you know, they're explaining that
he was a World War I soldier
mm-hmm.
who got shot
mm-hmm.
and was like laying in a trench, dead, almost dead, and there was like toxic gases because that's mustard gas and shit, and like death came, and when death came, he reached out for him, and then he said, "You know what? Fuck you, death. I'm not going."
It's like, nah, man.
So that made him immortal, but it also gave him the ability to basically work as death. So if he touches somebody, they die.
Well, here's the thing. They don't die.
Well, he like sucks their spirit out, but they eventually die if their spirit doesn't go back into their body.
Right.
So, but this is where I was confused. Are we only talking about his hands? Because there's a very big deal made about his hands and his touch. Can he like brush you with like his unclothed shoulder and then you are also dead? But they're only talking about his hands.
Well, they mostly talk about his hands, but I assume that if he gives you a big hug and like puts you get you do like a cheek to cheek thing
like
with him.
Like he touches skin, right? So like he couldn't just be like, I can't.
Well, I think it's his skin in general because they do reference it later to the, you know, we'll get to it.
Because I was trying to figure this out. I'm like, so like if he was like, I can't touch you with my hands, but I still want to caress your face, I'll just use my foot.
Yeah, and no.
Like,
so if
is
he's
that
like
a thing that can happen.
Like if he had
like he also has dead foot.
Yeah, if he had like a foot fetish, you know, and like, yeah,
like
reverse foot
with my toe.
Yeah, and if he was like, you know, paying a woman to like rub his feet, like she'd die.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's not
unless he had a sock on.
Yeah, sock. Yeah, because he does have points where like, you know, he's wrapping his hand in things, and he's like, okay, I'm gonna wrap my hand here because I'm not gonna kill you because I'm just gonna take you and
right.
Fuck hostage with you. Hostage you and stuff. Right. However, though, I do like this origin story because it kind of reminds me of like a Metallica album.
It really does.
It's it's like doctors imprisoning me. You know, it just feels very like, like metal. It's like, this is fucking metal.
Yeah.
Oh,
it is
God.
Actually very, very metal.
I like
that origin story a lot.
I just kind of want, this is what they need to put rock music over.
Fuck yeah.
Not over I mean, Wonder Woman, okay, fine.
you mean her constant rock music when she's rock not music checking when she, her email?
Who just shows up and she's like, my email's done. Time to go fight. You know. No, this needs like Wasp or something, or just something real like.
Yeah.
Like 80s, late 80s fucking metal.
Well, I mean, even now you could probably like put the music of a band whose name you can't read over this.
Yeah, they're still out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if that's a black metal band, you know, you can't read their names.
Yeah. They should be over this.
That should be over this. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, we get like a, you know, North Star talking about Nemesis, who basically Nemesis shows up and she's like,
hey,
I got the sweet sword. And like,
I chopped that guy into bits.
I chopped him in, like, we get to see him being like dissected.
Yeah, she chops him into like many bits, but apparently it doesn't kill him.
Well, it kills him. No, what happened was it didn't, it killed him.
But not really. He says
no,
later.
No, listen, it killed him, but Scramble showed up and was like, and now he's back.
But Scramble didn't put him back together.
He did.
There's a part in here where he yells at Nemesis and say, I was still alive in pieces on that table.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's something where, well, okay, well, actually, we'll get to it. Yeah, and then basically, like, Nemesis is like, or North Star is like, hey, we took her mask off, and she's got, like, she looks like
hideous face.
She's got a hideous face, but she also looks like Bulma from,
from Dragon Ball Z. She has, like, this purple hair.
She's got, like, this pale purple hair, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Anyways, so then we get this confrontation at a train station. And because basically Ernest is, I don't know where he's going, but he's just going into the subway, and he runs into some people, and they're like, hey, you hoser. Like, they literally say that. Like, it's that, you know, you make it's Canada. Canada. It's Canada. So they're just like, hey, you hoser. Hey, well, you tourist, you know, why don't you say sorry to my wife? And he's like, you know, and his wife's like, hey, he's a big dude.
Yeah,
leave him alone. And he's like, well, just because he thinks he can get away with shit.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you should listen to your wife, Touch.
Right.
And this guy, you know, dies.
Which sucks, because they were on their way to Tim Hortons.
Oh, I know. They're probably going to bring back some. They're on the way to get us some Tim Hortons. Mm. I asked them for a sandwich, and now I'm not going to get it.
Sorry, babe.
Alpha Flight shows up along with Nemesis.
Yep.
And it's a big fight.
Yep.
And
everybody's like, watch his hands and
yeah, watch his hands and stuff like
so
that.
So he's like basically killing all of Alpha Flight.
Well, at one point he picks up
Box.
Because Box literally says, you can't kill a robot, fat man.
Oh, but you can.
And he goes, well, I still can like shut down your shit.
Yeah.
You know, because I take life. I take, you know, essence out of things. So I'm going to take the soul out of your robot.
Yeah. And he, like, what is that? North Star?
Who?
What's his name? That guy.
Which guy?
That guy.
North Star.
North Star and Aurora.
Well, anyway, so
they're trying to come up from behind him.
Well, let's point this out here. Oh. So he throws Box at Nemesis.
Uh-huh.
And she crushes him. And it's also, too, like, we get a bunch of, like, this... we get more of like the internal strife between Alpha Flight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Heather, who is not yet Vindicator, but she's in charge for some reason. And right.
She was married to what's his name?
She was married to James McDonald, who was the original Guardian.
Right. And he's dead.
He died in like the first like 10 issues. Or issue number 12. I know that to be exact. So she's in charge, but she doesn't have any power. She's just like, you know, she doesn't have her suit or whatever. I don't know why she doesn't have her
suit. She's just a human.
She's just a human. She's barking out powers and everybody's like, you know, and like Aurora and North Star are like, shut up, you know, but Puck's got a serious thing for her.
That's right. Because I remember we read another Alpha Flight.
Yeah. Like he's constantly kind of like, he's like, oh, if I was only loving her, you know, it's very like Brian Adams love songs going on in his head constantly for her.
Everything I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically
just his soundtrack. And he's like, on a loop.
Yeah. So he's listening to her and just
his
as a
ringtone.
But as that's happening, so Aurora and North Star, who fly really fast.
Yeah.
Are flying right behind Ernest.
Yeah.
And he just puts out his hands and touches them and they're dead.
Yep. They die.
It's actually kind of sweet.
Yeah. It's
pretty
funny.
He's kind of like, yoink.
Jake's just like, haha, behind, and they're dead.
Yeah, because all he's got to do is he's got to touch you, you know? Yeah. He's got to touch touch your skin or whatever. I don't know if he pulls your hair, if that matters or not.
I don't think
but...
it matters. So he, like, Ernest rips off the sleeves of his awesome sweater that he was wearing, and he's like, I'm going to wrap my hands up, and I'm going to take
Heather
hostage, and I'm going to get away
mm-hmm.
from the rest of these guys. Because their friends are dead, so they're going to be too distracted with that. So Puck and Nemesis are the only ones left, and Nemesis is like, here, I have some sort of power, so I can kind of try to keep them alive, but only for a short amount of time.
Nemesis is like, I could do this thing like to keep everybody living.
Right,
so
you've got to go take my sword and stab him, because it'll take their souls back, and then we can like revive them.
He's like, sweet.
And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
But... so then Puck goes into, like, the subway.
And Puck's having this thing where it's like, I don't want to kill. And I'm
right,
like
he's having,
up.
Like, a dumb existential crisis at this point. He's like, oh, I can't kill, but for Heather, I will, man.
It's like,
and it's just like, dude, obviously at this point, you have dead friends.
You have dead friends, and this guy is out there
killing
everybody.
You're killing,
not killing
for the fucking fun of it. You're obviously killing somebody who is so dangerous he cannot be with the rest of the human population.
Yeah.
So fucking understand that.
He killed a couple on their way to Tim Hortons.
Right. He just killed that poor guy. And he killed a dude for a very bad outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He's like, hey, that handkerchief is sewn on there.
Yeah.
I'm down.
This could be like, maybe I was wrong. Maybe this is more like a leather daddy outfit.
Well, there's a lot of belts going on. But I mean, I feel like it was a part of an outfit that was like he was headed somewhere else to get into a different outfit that was going to like, yeah, where he was keeping the other parts of it.
Yeah, like there should be like a hat.
Like a hat or maybe some like that, like straps.
Yeah, there's something going on. It's like a half of a fetish outfit.
Yeah.
It's like a fetish outfit, but like with a sweater on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Puck shows up and Puck starts, you know.
He's like, I will kill for you.
I will kill for you.
Yeah, his internal crisis here is dumb because obviously like he shouldn't be in crisis. As we've pointed out.
Yeah.
So, but he starts stabbing this guy and he cuts his hand off, which is actually really funny.
Yeah, and there's no blood in it.
No, there's no blood.
Because he's like dead, because he's been dead.
Yeah, so there's no blood, but like also when his hands get cut off, they can move independently. So it's like Thing on Adam's Family.
Yeah.
So that's like crawling after him and
yeah.
And they're on train tracks. So there's lots of fighting and stabbing. And there's one point where he's like, I'm not going to kill him. And then he sees that Heather's like laying on a train track. He's like, oh, never mind. I totally will. So he like slices this guy's head off.
Well, he kind of just seems to do it like. Oh, no, that's him, because he's like, there's no longer time to weigh alternatives. I'm like,
right.
Just shut up and do
like,
your
shut
job.
Shut up and fucking kill this guy, will you?
Yeah, just kill this dude, because obviously he's not gonna let you live.
Right. Yeah, no one's going to live.
What are you going to do, take him to prison?
Yeah, because it was like, at first this guy was like, oh, I'm death, but I don't want to be. But then he like grew to really enjoy the fact that he gets to kill people.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
he can't be wandering around.
Yeah.
So cuts off his head. And all of his parts are still alive, so they're still trying to kick this guy's ass, and then they get hit by a train.
Yeah.
Well,
he doesn't get hit, but then...
no, not him, but...
The Ernest meet.
Ernest gets hit. So, after he's hit, like...
Okay, next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, his fat head is just yelling.
Yeah, it's like, how dare you, funny. I'm gonna kill you, blah, 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 blah. Gets hit by a train. And then, after that, Puck's like, I'm gonna finish the job. And I'm not exactly sure how he finished.
That's what
the
I'm
job,
kind of curious.
Because you literally do not see it. He's like, don't look. This is going to be gross. And then the next thing you see is Puck and Heather returning to Nemesis so she can revive all their friends.
He's like, oh, that was, I'm wondering if did he chop it up kind of like, you know, like when you chop up like peppers.
Was
or
it like a slap chop type of thing? Was yeah. Like slap chop, chop, chop. And the guy was just like nothing but like ground beef by the end.
Did he ground beef and did he make it? Yeah, I mean, did he just.
Was he like, I got to get my KitchenAid and I got to put him make on like the sausage setting and just like grind this dude?
Apparently, this thing, maybe a purees?
Maybe.
I don't know.
It's a food process.
I'm trying to figure out what he did because, I mean, also it's like. I mean, that's a long time just to be sitting there in between trains, nonetheless.
Right, and that guy, he's not a small man.
No, there's a lot of human meat.
He's a big guy, so it'd be like trying to cut up the Big Show.
I kind of want the Big Show to play this character.
I don't know who else would play this character.
Yeah.
They just got to put a really bad wig on him. like how long do you think it would take to like dice the Big Show? I assume it would take a long time.
Yes. Like, it would take a long
tunnel by the time you're done.
Yeah, yes, it would be a very very challenging task if you were a cannibal and you had the task of cutting up one Paul White to make sure that he is fit for, you could save the rest.
Yeah.
You could be make big show steaks. Yeah, I know, it's a lot because a lot of meat there.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't it's not like Fargo where there's like a wood chipper you can throw him in.
No. No, he's on the train tracks. There's nothing there.
He's got this little tiny sword.
And he's not insane. I mean, he's just Puck. You know, he's just like, you know, like, step, step, step. I'm like,
it's not like he has like super grinding powers.
No, no. I need more explanation of this. Of
the blender.
I need more explanation of this. I need to ask Bill Mantlo. I think he's not doing so good. Maybe I can't ask him.
Oh, okay.
Be like, hey, I got a question. Oh, wait. Yeah, he's not.
No, you're not feeling well. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I read about that. I was like,
you want to talk about like blender powers.
It's like, hey, I got a question about this Alpha Flight comic from 30 years ago. Get away from me. just get out of here. Just leave us alone.
So like Nemesis takes her sword and she's like, aha, you all live.
Yeah. She even saves a guy. Who,
Tim Hortons guy.
Tim Hortons guy.
To go have Tim Hortons, so that's good for him.
Yeah, no, that's good. And then basically we get this story because she's talking about how, you know, she's been doing this forever.
Yeah, because he returned home from the war after World War I.
Yeah.
And he was just so happy to be alive. He went and he embraced his young wife and she dropped dead.
Yeah.
And at first he was horrified, but then he was like, this is sweet. So,
and his daughter was terrified.
So his daughter has spent her entire life trying to kill him, and Nemesis is his daughter.
That is me.
Yeah, and she's nothing but a ball of purple hair, basically. She has no face.
Well, I think you get to see her face in the other issue.
But she's so horrible. Horrible.
Well,
she just
kind of looks like, bleh, you know, like,
yeah,
face.
Well, because that was what Puck was like. Oh, it takes the sword wants, you know, souls, and it's just no wonder Nemesis. You know, feel so terrible, the burden that this sword bears or whatever.
Yeah.
So she, like, I don't know, melts into a pile of
she just turns into dust and her sword still hangs out there.
And that's the end.
I wonder if they take the sword, because I mean, apparently the sword wasn't very good. I mean, Puck just literally just chopped up a giant man with it.
Yeah, apparently.
And I would keep that around.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. So, and that's it for Alpha Flight. And then we get the Alpha Waves letter page, which has Heather in the Guardian outfit,
right?
Or she's Vindicator, and right. I'm like, well, what the frig? How come she wasn't wearing that now?
Maybe next time.
She's like, oh, I'm a human. It's like, no, you should be wearing this thing.
Yeah. Oh.
The fuck. Anyways, next issue just says short story. I'm assuming it has something to do with Puck.
Sure.
I know it's kind of, you know, mean spirited, but hey, they wrote it. I didn't write it.
I know. 1986.
1986, guys. So that's it for Alpha Flight number 31 from February 1986. Would you read the next issue?
Meh.
I'm probably gonna. I might even have
it.
I
love the Alpha Flight.
Yeah, it's one of those books. They're one of these books where it's kind of like Dr. Fate from the 80s and the 90s, where it's like I'll see them hanging out, and I'll be like, all right, I think I'm going to buy these. I might buy it, and then I don't. Because what happens is, like, there'll be a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Alpha Flight's got, like, 100 and some odd issues.
Right.
And I have a bunch of those, but I don't want to buy all of those right now. And I'm still trying to work on some other stuff. It's very difficult for me, guys, having problems.
Your life is tough. It's very hard.
Very tough life.
Very hard comic book life.
Yes. Okay, so that's it for this week's show. We'll be back next week with more fun. Let's tell people where they can find us.
Okay, me? Me first, or do you want to go first?
Let's have the whole panel here. Let's start with...
Usually you go first. I don't know. What do you want to do? You want me to go first?
I don't know
now?
Why.
We're shaking shit up? That's fine.
Yeah, messing everything up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Look at us shaking shit up.
Yeah. None of us even start. Fine, I'll go. You can find me on Twitter at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. Also Instagram as well, Angry Hero Sean, and as well my Tumblr. The Angry Hero, the Tumblr. What the fuck is wrong with me today? TheAngryHero.tumblr.com, and of course SideshowNetwork.tv is where you can find all of our great shows here on the network. Please rate, subscribe, review, tell a friend. Leave a rating, 5-star rating if you think we deserve it. Do all that good stuff. It helps us in the ratings. It helps us get visibility on a show. If you like people talking about Alpha Flight and shitty comics from 20, 30 years ago, we're your people.
This is why I'm resistant to change.
Yeah, never change. Do the same thing.
Do it the same because we fuck it up. All right. So I am at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
All right. And that's it for this week's show, guys. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next time.
Bye.